This is WMUK's Let's Hear It, Music of the Moment in West Michigan. I'm Kara Lawrence. The guest soloist for the season-opening concert of the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra tomorrow night is violinist Lana Trotovshek. That's her we're listening to now, playing lightning-speed arpeggios in Arvo Pärt's Fratres from a live recording made in Wigmore Hall in London just last June. Ms. Trotovshek is making her United States orchestral debut in tomorrow night's concert, but it's not her first visit to North America. I spoke with her earlier today. Lana, about a year ago, you gave a solo recital in Washington, D.C. that was reviewed in the Washington Post. It was an embassy series recital at the Slovenian embassy, and it said, violinist Lana Trotovshek gives radiant performance in the embassy series. They must have loved you because you returned there just last Friday and performed again.
Yes, I mean, it was great to perform there last year. I remember a great audience and they were very enthusiastic. So I was very happy that they invited me again and again. It was very nice to do it there and nice audience. Yeah.
So you grew up in Slovenia, and I imagine when you leave Europe, you have to do some explaining about where Slovenia is and the culture you come from. Would you help us Kalamazooans out with a little background on your country and culture?
Yes, sure. So Slovenia lies just geographically next to Italy, Austria, Hungary, and Croatia. These are the neighbor countries. We are very rich in nature. We have mountains.
Do you have the Mediterranean Sea?
Yes, a little bit. A little bit. About 35 kilometers. And we are very proud of this 35 kilometers. But however, our neighbor country, Croatia, has a very, very long coast. But anyway, we are proud of this little coast. And also we have a lot of vineyards. And our capital, where I'm from, Ljubljana, is in the middle of, geographically in the middle of Slovenia. And it has, it's a little town, actually, 350,000 people. But altogether, Slovenia has 2 million.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is the language that you all speak?
We speak Slovenian. We have our own language, which is Slavic and very similar to Croatian, Serbo-Croatian. Yes.
Is music an important part of your culture?
Yes, it is. Of course, we have our own cultural music. We have... it's a very similar to Oberkrain Austrian, if you know what I mean. It's with accordions and clarinets and how do you say? Is it yodel with the voice?
The singing with the overtones.
Yes. Yeah. So it's similar to that. Oh. But classical music, of course, it's very...
long tradition.
There. Yes, yeah. We have a long tradition. Actually, Mahler was visiting Slovenia very often, and he worked in Slovenian Philharmonic in his life. So, and Schubert applied for a job in Slovenia but was refused. so we did have all these big names passing our country.
Now, when you were young, did you have siblings who were already into music, parents who were playing music as well?
Yes, my parents are musicians. My mom is cellist and my father is a clarinetist. So when I was 4 years old, they bought me a little violin for my birthday. And it was a Stradivarius, well, from China.
Right. The yes. Name gets the name gets put on a lot of instruments.
Yes. So I didn't even question it. I just because 4-year-old child, what can he question? He just takes the instruments and starts playing. And anyway, the music was always a part of my childhood. I was listening to it on the radio. My father had lots of recordings, and I was listening to him practicing, as well as my mother. So I knew that's something I should do, and that was normal for me.
Well, let's remind listeners that Lana Trotovsek performs this Friday, tomorrow night, in Miller Auditorium. The Brahms Concerto is the huge work that she will undertake to perform, and this is your very first appearance with a United States orchestra, so it's a first.
Yes, it's my debut performance in USA, and I'm very flattered and glad that this will be the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra. I learned that Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra has a big, long tradition, and it's this year running 95th anniversary, and that some big names have performed with this orchestra. And so I'm very flattered that this will be the orchestra I play with for the first time in USA.
We're thrilled as well. Nikki Statler is here. She's marketing director for the KSO. And Nikki, would you tell people the information they might need to find out about tickets and such?
We have all of our concert information on our website, kalamazoosymphony.com. And you can also call Miller Auditorium's box office, 387-2300.
Great. I think we'll go back to your story after we listen to some music, Lana. And luckily, you have brand new CDs here with you. Hopefully, they'll be available tomorrow night as well at the concert. Or maybe you have to talk to Lana especially about it. But I think I'd like to hear a little bit of Brahms. This is not the concerto, but it is from his third sonata. Tell me about how this was recorded.
So this recording is a live recording of from the concert in the Wigmore Hall, which was recently in June. So that's a live performance, and it was published very quickly. So I believe that this will be the first time on the radio. So again, debut.
All right. I chose the second movement. It's a shorter movement and very, very beautiful. Lana can be heard tomorrow night, as I mentioned, at 8:00 with the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra. And we'll come back after that to find out how London plays in your life and catch up with your development from Slovenia to London, England, and your further education. Here's Lana Trotovsek. That's violinist Lana Trotovsek, who is here in the studio at WMUK, a live recording from Wigmore Hall just last June with pianist Simon Lane. And we heard one movement from the Brahms Violin Sonata No. 3. That was enchanting, so beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
I hadn't heard it before, and so I'm hearing you play for the first time, and I think listeners would agree with me that you have just one of the most beautiful tones any violinist could hope for. and such a way with the phrasing. It's a perfect teaser for tomorrow night's concert, also in music of Johannes Brahms. Let's get back to your training in the story of growing up in Slovenia, in the capital city, finding teachers there, I assume. I do see that there's a name that jumps out in your biography, and the name is Ruggiero Ricci. He's an Italian virtuoso, and he took you under his wing for a while.
Yes. Actually, when I was 17, my father suggested me, listen, there is a very nice masterclass in Dartington in England. Ruggiero Ricci is going to teach there. I think you should go. And that was the privilege, having musicians as parents, because they knew what is good for me. So anyway, this was my first visit to England, going to see Ruggiero Ricci. And when he heard me, there was a lot of violinists there, and as I was young and they were all really good. And but I was really surprised when he mentioned, well, I would like to teach you, would you come to Salzburg and study with me? So that was first time that someone with a big name like this, and you know, a legend.
How old were you at that time?
I was 17. Yeah. So I went and I studied with him 2 years in Salzburg. After that, he was advised by his doctors to move to California back, because he was, I think he grew up in USA, right? Because of his health issues, the climate was better in California. So then our cooperation was terminated, but I have great memories of being his student. He was very supporting and very very encouraging teacher. Everything was possible and everything was easy. He was just like, oh, honey, just play this, just strike this, look, it's easy. He was the first one that introduced an instrument as very easy to play. No,
that's the opposite of what I think of as violin training. You know, it's one impossible thing after another.
Yes, and it is. When you start playing the violin, it's just not nice. It doesn't sound really nice. So, but after having him as a teacher, I started to look at it differently. So that was a great contribution in my studies.
How about developing your repertoire, an understanding of the violin through the composers who wrote for it over the centuries? Was this a period of taking on a lot of music?
Actually, I didn't start with most difficult pieces when I was little, and actually I'm glad I didn't, because I see nowadays that the little kids, they start with the most difficult concertos already, and on YouTube you can see a 10-year-old child playing, you know, I don't know, Mendelssohn concerto or Tchaikovsky concerto. And I mean, of course, all kids are in a way geniuses, because they know no restrictions. And but I think the same way, they don't understand, it's not possible to understand music like this when you're little. And actually, I'm happy I did not start with most difficult pieces, and that I started gradually develop myself, because if you take a piece when you're a child that is very demanding, then it kind of sticks in you also later on. And then if you again take it when you're, let's say, 25 years old, after 10 years, you it's difficult to get rid of the interpretation you did it when you were a child. So
You have to unlearn.
Yes, unlearn and relearn. And,
and that can be a struggle if it's already in your fingers, you know, already just unconsciously there.
Yes, but then it also has a positive side, of course. It's already in your fingers, so you don't need much to, you know, to learn it. But I think musically and how you understand the music, of course, it's different when you're much older.
So when Mr. Ricci moved to California, you had to decide where to continue your study. Where did you think about going?
Actually, he invited me to come with him to California. However, he would not be teaching in any university. It would just be a private thing. So I thought, well, I'm 17, I'm still young, and I would like to finish a university and college. So that's why I decided to finish the academy in Ljubljana and then go for postgraduate studies in London.
Ah, now we're in London.
Yeah. there I had my first teacher, Vasco Vasilev, who was a concertmaster, who still is a concertmaster in Royal Opera House, and Boris Brovtsin, who is also a Russian violinist, soloist. And later on, I also went to Rivka Golani, who is a viola soloist. People usually ask me, why did you go to viola teacher? It's strange, but actually anyone can... any instrumentalist can teach you how to play. Actually, it's even better because they don't know the restrictions of the instrument, if it's different instrument that they are playing. So that was a nice experience. And then afterwards, my next teacher was Iza Krashkovsky, that was in Royal College of Music in London. But while having those teachers, I also had opportunity to work with Ivry Gitlis in a masterclass and Ida Handel. So all these legends that are now, I think, approaching their 90 years.
Yeah. Wow. So you graduated. Is it in London that you met the pianist Yoko Misumi?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
You've recorded several albums of chamber music with Yoko.
Yes. Yes, I did. And we were actually together in a in an ensemble piano trio, the Greenwich Trio, with cellist Stjepan Hauser, who is now a member of Two Cellos. They're quite...
They're kind of a crossover. Two cellists who also sort of are pop artists. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we collaborated together a lot in a chamber music ensemble. And later on, we did recitals, piano, violin together a lot. However, I collaborate with many different pianists in London and around the world. And I think it's important to collaborate with as many as possible artists because that makes you also develop and, you know, look into music making from a different aspect every time.
Well, I'd like to take another musical break here. Why don't we quickly move on to the violin concerto of Johannes Brahms. That's the major piece on the program tomorrow night for the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra. My guest, Lana Trotovsek, was the soloist with the KSO led by Maestro Raymond Harvey. Lana, we'll start with the beginning of this concerto. It is enormous. What are some of the preparations when you decided to learn the concerto? And did you have a performance date already scheduled?
Yes, I think the only way of learning, I mean, I learned it while I was a student already, but otherwise when you get to learn a piece, you always have a performance already in mind, because this is, it's nice to have a motivation to do it,
the
and
goal.
Have it in the goal and have it in head while you are preparing it. Brahms Concerto is really an enormous piece and very virtuosic, and I like it a lot because it has many different characters. So it can be serious, energetic, but then very lyrical. And at the end, this third movement, it's very, it's a triumphant, positive. And it's written very thick in orchestration, which is nice because you get all this warmth behind you as a soloist from the orchestra. The violin solo part is written as a, sometimes violin solo part is a melody, or sometimes also accompanying the orchestra. It's very virtuosic and written very cleverly, actually. So
we'll learn a little more about that after we give it a listen. We'll just hear a few minutes of this first movement, which happens to be in this recording 22 minutes long. So this is a young Anne-Sophie Mutter with the Berlin Philharmonic, conducted by Herbert von Karajan. Well, it's a very exciting movement, the first movement of the Brahms Concerto. I had to cut into it because my guest Lana Trotovsek is here to talk about the piece, which you're performing tomorrow night. We talked a little about the preparation. It can take months. The piece is demanding, as you said. Sometimes you're playing melody, you're leading everything, and other times the orchestra has the melody and you are doing the fireworks in the background.
Yes.
So tell me about just the first movement. What kind of journey do you feel like this takes you on?
I feel it's very energetic and serious movement, also passionate. It's like a bomb at the beginning when violin comes in with the first entrance, but then it takes me to a journey to a very passionate place as well. It has this passionate second theme.
We listened long enough to hear the contrast between the two, this explosive opening theme and then very romantic or passionate.
Yes.
Second theme.
I think this is all shows Brahms's character. All of his pieces are a little bit like this, and maybe this reflects his life. Well, I don't know if he was too serious, but But his passionate writing of pieces shows that he had a muse. Well, Clara Schumann was his muse, and also his life, actually, their relationship was very special. We still don't know what their relationship was all about. Well, certainly was about music a lot, because not even one piece that he wrote, Clara needed to see all the pieces he was writing and, you know, review them and approve them, that they were good enough.
Did Brahms ever get married?
No, he didn't get married.
Ever?
No, never. And even when he did have an opportunity, he turned it down. He was apparently quite passionately in love with this singer, but when he was asked by her brother, well, what is this going on? Are you going to marry her, or what is this relationship all about? He turned it down, and he wanted to continue it just as a outside, you know,
on the side.
Yeah, on the side. But of course, she was furious, and she ended the relationship. And I think maybe this has to do with Clara a little bit. He didn't want that other woman would interfere in his composing, maybe. So I find his life extremely interesting from this point of view, and it reflects a lot in his music.
Who was the first soloist for this piece?
That was Josef Joachim. He wrote this piece for him, and they had very close collaborations. And also the cadenza that I'm playing is Joachim's cadenza.
For listeners who might not know, a cadenza is where the violinist takes flight all by herself usually near the very end of a movement. Is there a cadenza in the first or the second or the third here?
Here it's in the first movement. It's usually in the first movement. Well, some concertos have them in all movements even, yeah. You know. Here it's at the end of the first movement. And, you know, with years, many cadenzas have been written for this concerto, and I've listened to all of them, and but for me, Joachim's one makes the most sense, maybe because they collaborated together and they maybe talked about it. They were great friends, so yeah.
Didn't Josef Joachim have many composer friends? He premiered, or he's associated as the first performer of a lot of great romantic concertos.
Yes, he was superstar at that time, and Brahms was very excited to have known him, and he just couldn't believe that he's working with this superstar. So that made him write this concerto and the double concerto for violin and cello as well.
Actually, so he didn't hold back. If this is a superstar he's writing for,
yes,
he probably made the music as hard as it had to be.
Yes, and some violinists even refused to perform this piece. They thought it's too difficult.
Well, before we get back to the music and finish up this hour, I wanted to ask you about another composer, a modern-day composer with whom you've collaborated. The name is Tan Dun. He's a Chinese composer, if I'm right. Mm-hmm. And he wrote a concerto that you recently performed on at least two occasions in Italy and in Slovenia.
Yes.
With the composer conducting.
Yes, I did. That was a great experience for me. Tadun is such a nice person and so energetic and positive. I performed his hero concerto that was written for actually the music that was written for movie Hero, and I think the violinist who recorded this was Isaac Perlman. That were two performances with Tadun, one in Slovenia, one in Italy, and I'm very excited that he has invited me back, and I'm going to perform with him 27th of September, so in a week's time, actually.
Really?
In Nanjing with Shanghai Philharmonic.
Wow, you're going to go all the way around the world from here. That's amazing. I remember first seeing his name, which I've pronounced Tadun. Is it Tadun, really?
I think they pronounce it Tadun.
I'll do my best to work on that. But when the movie Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon came out, that was his score, and Yo-Yo Ma was playing a lot of the solo cello.
Yes.
And so for this film, Hero, Itzhak Perlman was the violinist. And,
yes.
And then there's a concert piece created afterward. Is so the Chinese influence, the sound of the arhu or something like that, is that is there an influence like that here?
Yes, there's a lot of influence like that, and I was quite how do you say, I was challenged with confronting with this traditional Chinese way of playing the violin. So I listened a lot of recordings of this instrument, how to imitate it, because there's a lot of glissandos, and the way they vibrate is a bit differently, a bit broader, and but it was exciting to approach a piece like this. What is very interesting also is that with those concertos performing, there is a screen behind the musicians, and they are screening the excerpts from the movie. So it's a big show. It's a concerto playing live as well as the movie being screened.
You know, the KS will perform tomorrow night, and tickets are available at KalamazooSymphony.com or the Miller Box Office at 387-2300. Lana, it's been wonderful having you here. We're going to go back to the Brahms and listen to the final movement, I believe. Any last thoughts?
Well, thank you for having me here, and see you tomorrow night.
Thank you.